I'm Beth Pariseau, senior news writer at TechTarget, and this is IT Ops Query Season 1, Tech's Tragedy of the Commons. Today's guest is William Morgan, CEO at Buoyant, a company that sells commercial and SaaS support for the Linkerd service mesh project and employs all of its maintainers. In February, Buoyant announced it would no longer be making a certain class of the project's code, called Stable Release Artifacts, available for free to production users with more than 50 employees. Thanks for being with us, William.
Thanks for having me, Beth. It's great to be here.
Great. So what led you to make this change to Linkerd?
Yeah, so let's give a little context and history here. Linkerd is part of the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, which now has, I don't know how many hundreds of projects probably. I think we were project number 5 back in the early days. And we've been a part of the Kubernetes and the CNCF ecosystem ever since. And part of that has been growing this community of open source adopters who are using Linkerd, who are contributing PRs on occasion, filing issues, you know, kind of the standard open source stuff. And so we've been at this now for many years. And I think what caused us to make a change to the way that we were interfacing with the community is we realized that we had never incentivized the community really to ever give anything back to Linkerd. So we had developed this very asymmetric relationship where it's not a thing that you use for your home or whatever. This is something that you build a company around. It's something that you use to power a critical application that you're building your whole business around. And so we had found ourselves in a situation where we had so many companies out there that were using Linkerd, that were building businesses, in some cases, in many cases, billion-dollar businesses on top of Linkerd, and had no reason to contribute back to the project, had no reason to fund the project, had no reason to do anything. And that was a problem. In fact, that was an existential problem for Linkerd. It's not a moral issue. It's not like we're expecting donations, but we had to be in a situation where the users of Linkerd, for whom it was enabling something very powerful and profound, to be able to contribute back to the project. And so that was the recognition. That was like the state we were like, okay, we can't continue doing this, because if we continue doing this, then the alternative is that the project dies. This is an existential threat. Right. So then the implementation of like, well, okay, how do we change this dynamic? Yeah. You know, that was kind of like the next question. The thing that was really worrisome to me was that the historical mechanism for funding these early stage open source projects is you get support and then you use that to bootstrap the project and you evolve from there. But when we talked to our users, they were like, yeah, you know, we tried to convince our company to buy support or something, but like it just worked all the time. We could never actually justify doing it. And that was a really profoundly scary statement, because the fact that Linkerd just worked was working against us. Now we were in a situation where there's no way to complete the cycle of value. So that was something we had to change dramatically.
So other companies that have found themselves in a similar predicament have changed their licensing.
Yeah.
Why did you take a different approach than that?
We considered a whole bunch of options here, and we did think briefly about that. I don't know that that was really necessary in our case. I think we kind of like the dynamics around Linkerd and the CNCF, and changing the license would have been one way of going about this, but it seemed very dramatic. The companies for whom that is the choice they make, often it's because they've got a whole bunch of competitors who are taking the literal source code and then turning that into like a provided cloud service. And that wasn't really the situation for us. Obviously, Linkerd has a lot of competitors with their own projects, but the situation for us was really more about connecting with the end user community who were getting value and less about defensibility from these competitors that were coming in parasitically consuming some of the value chain.
So what has the feedback been so far from the community? Have you reaped the whirlwind or what?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag in the sense that if you look at the community as a whole, there's many people who can be very ideological about open source.
Sure.
And sometimes even misinformed. This part was a little bit surprising to me. The level of misinformation about open source and what that means. We've been doing open source for 30, 40 years as an industry, something. Almost half a century, it's got to be.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured like everyone would kind of understand what that meant. And yes, there's variations among these licenses. And is it free as in beer or free as in puppies? But all those arguments, I kind of figured that had all been hashed out in the 90s or something. You know, apparently not.
Right.
So there was a lot of hand-wringing from people who were surprised, but weren't necessarily connected to Linkerd in any way. So that was almost like an ideological stance. Reaction from the user community was actually surprisingly encouraging. And I say surprisingly because we went into this knowing that we were asking people to make a change. And whenever you ask people to make a change, it's annoying, right? It's like, oh, crap, now I have to do something. So I knew that we were putting people in a position that they didn't necessarily want to be in for reasons that I think are profoundly justified and that are much better than the alternative. But I knew we were going to get people complaining. But we actually got a lot of people who were like, you know, I understand. I understand why you're doing this. Okay, let's figure out a way to make this happen. And then it would get into the mechanics of like, well, you know, we just settled our budget. So like, how do we blah, blah, blah. And from then on, okay, fine. We'll be as flexible and whatever we want. But the feedback was largely like, okay, I get it. Yeah, let's figure out how to make this work. That seems fair.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of gratifying.
Was there any feedback that will cause you to rethink anything about how you proceed? Is there anything you're going to change based on user feedback?
For sure. Yeah. There's a couple things that I think we didn't get quite right. And I guess I'm grateful that we have an opportunity to get some clear feedback. Feedback is a gift, as they say, and we got a lot of gifts. So what we said was, hey, we're no longer producing these open source stable releases. And we said, you know, at the same time, we recognize that kind of leaves a hole in how people are adopting Linkerd. So we're going to make it free for smaller companies. If you are under 50 employees, then it's just free. If you're 50 employees or more, then you have to pay based on number of clusters. And like the specifics of how we did that pricing were not right. They didn't work for people. And so a lot of the feedback we got was like, I really don't want to rip out Linkerd, but that number, when I multiply X by Y, I get $1 billion. That ain't going to work. So that's the thing that we're correcting as rapidly as possible, because I don't want people moving off of Linkerd.
Right.
And I don't think they want to do it either.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to squeeze people for like every last dollar here. You know, I just want to make sure the value that we've established with Linkerd can come back and refund the project. So that's one. There's a couple other things we're looking at tweaking in terms of how we describe what edge releases are and some of the mechanics in there. But that was the biggest one, was really people were saying, okay, I want to do this, but the way you set it up, that number's crazy.
I guess we could get a layer or two deeper into stable release artifacts. What are they? Why did you decide to make those the focus? And how does that work?
Yeah, so if you look at an open source project, the minimum requirement to be an open source project is that you have all the source code made available and it's under a specific license. And if you're in the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, there's really one predominant license that you basically have to adopt, which is the Apache License 2.0. And that license says all of this code that is in this repo, anyone can use it for any purpose, including commercial purposes. On top of that, you can then do things that are effectively conveniences for the user. So, okay, we've got a whole bunch of code here. If you actually want to run Linkerd, well, you need to compile it. You need to turn it into container images. You're probably installing it via Helm or via some CLI. So like you need some YAML somewhere to actually apply it to your cluster. And all of that stuff is what we call the release artifacts. These are the bits that make it very easy for you to take Linkerd and put it on your cluster. So you're not compiling stuff yourself, because the build process, it's non-trivial. And then you can choose as a project, what type of artifacts are they? How often do we do them? Where do we put them? You know, those are all choices you can make that don't influence whether you are open source or not. And I'm just kind of being a little repetitive on that point, because I saw a lot of misconceptions about that. There was a nice blog post from Matt Farina, who's one of the Helm maintainers, I think, that just landed in January of this year, saying, or like talking about this exact situation preemptively, which was kind of neat to see. And so in Linkerd, what we've done in the past is we've said, okay, we're going to have two classes of these artifacts. We're going to have the edge artifacts and we're going to have the stable artifacts. Edge is going to be what, you know, we're going to do this like weekly. Once a week, we're going to take whatever is on the main branch and we're going to bundle that up. And here's something you can download and you can try. So in other projects, you might have nightly builds or weekly builds or something like that. We called ours edge. And then we're also going to produce these stable artifacts and we're doing some additional guarantees. Basically, we're going to optimize for minimizing the amount of change between subsequent stable artifacts. And kind of the intent was that hopefully a lot of people are downloading these edge releases and testing them and giving us feedback, but everyone took the stable release artifacts, they deployed them to production, they built their businesses around them, and then they never had any reason to talk to us.
Right. And I know the specter of vulnerabilities being in those edge releases was raised, and you wrote a blog clarifying some of these points, but you also said you're considering, I think you called them marker releases or milestone releases?
Yeah. So the edge releases have all of the latest code, mm-hmm. right? Which means anytime we find a vulnerability or there's a CVE or anything, and we treat that stuff very, very seriously in Linkerd. Linkerd is a security project, almost first and foremost. We've got a formal security policy. We've got a great track record. We've got public third-party audit, fuzz testing. We've got all the stuff that you would expect from a very security-centric project. And none of that has changed. The edge releases have the latest bug fixes. If there's a CVE fix or anything like that, that goes into main and then it goes into edge as rapidly as possible. So none of that has really changed. The marker releases were an idea that, and we're still kind of considering this, it doesn't address that, actually. What it addresses is when we announce something like Linkerd 2.15, it's a little strange that we've gone through the trouble of making this semantic versioning. We said, hey, here's Linkerd 2.15. And that model really works for us, by the way. We don't have to follow it, but it's encouraging even for the maintainer team to feel like, okay, well, we're working towards this big milestone. And we make that announcement and it's about the open source code and all that stuff. It's just kind of weird that there's literally no artifact that in the open source repo that's marked 2.15. So there is an edge release that corresponds to that. Maybe we just copy that over and say, hey, this is now our open source 2.15 kind of marker release.
Right. Okay. So getting back into the ideological discussion, this change prompted a health check review process by the CNCF. And there was some concern in the community about the fact that all of Linkerd's maintainers work for Buoyant, and some discussion and argument about whether that should be allowed by the CNCF. What's your response to those concerns?
I think my response is that that's noise. It's pure noise. It's a rudimentary analysis of the situation. None of that would have altered anything. And I don't even think it makes sense. Like, if you follow that train of logic for more than 3 seconds, it would have been very easy for us to add maintainers from another organization and just say, well, here, look, we've got this person from over here, and get the green check. It would have been very easy for us to say, yes, there's another vendor involved here. And I didn't want to do that because I don't think that would have been in the spirit of how it was intended. But B, I don't think it changes anything about the project. People who are saying that are saying, oh, well, this is how you ensure stability. What do we want here? We want a nice, stable project, long live. We can't have it vanish. And like, none of those things actually relate to project stability. They either come from ideology or they come from a very facile understanding of the situation. For a project like Linkerd, there's really only one thing that determines long-term viability and long-term health of the project. And that's, is there a commercial engine behind the project that's funding it?
Mm. But some people take the attitude of Istio came into the CNCF finally and they ate your lunch. And if you die, then you die. That's part of the life cycle of an open source project. And as the CEO of Buoyant, though, your interest is in keeping Buoyant alive as well as Linkerd. And if everybody that maintains the open source project works for Buoyant, then it's easier, I guess, is the argument, for Buoyant to unilaterally make a change like this to Linkerd. That seems to be the concern I'm hearing.
To me, that sounds like a bunch of FUD from people who don't have Linkerd's best interest in mind. And I think that's kind of the disturbing part, is Linkerd lives in this very competitive ecosystem. And there's many people for whom Linkerd is a thorn in their side or is an inconvenient truth, or, you know, for whom Linkerd stands in the way of them gaining financial success. And so you have to look at the motives behind some of these things.
Okay. Given that Linkerd is not the only project to face this kind of issue, given your point about the wider world not having a totally clear understanding of what open source means, what do we do as an industry? What do you think can be done to solve this problem of sustainability and clarify open source going forward?
I think the number one thing is we need to get straight as an industry that the number one thing that leads to project viability is there a commercial engine behind the project that is getting funded directly when it creates value for the project? That has to be seen as a perfectly valid, viable model, because it's the only model that works. It's the only model that works with very rare exceptions. Sometimes you'll see an exceptional project that has a founder and like the right set of circumstances. Envoy comes to mind, where I think Envoy was a pretty exceptional project in a lot of ways. But for the vast majority of projects, this is how modern open source works. And I think the reason why people are unwilling to do that, or why that feels uncomfortable to people, is because many people, kind of like I did, we grew up in open source where It was a grassroots movement. It was almost like an anti-dictatorship kind of movement. We were all building Linux together, contributing code to take down Microsoft. We wrote Microsoft with a dollar sign in it, you know, like this was our moment. And it felt really glorious to be a part of that. But that's a very different model for open source from how any project in the CNCF is working. Every project in this ecosystem has a company behind it that's trying to make money. Let's make that easier. Let's recognize if that's a requirement for a healthy, thriving ecosystem, then it's not a thing to poo-poo at or a thing to make harder or a thing to put obstacles in front of. That should be the thing that we encourage because ultimately it's good for the user. This is what's good for the user. The worst thing for the Linkerd user would be for me to listen to any of those bozos and say, oh yeah, well, okay, I guess we'll go, you know, add some more maintainers or whatever. Like, first of all, any of them could add maintainers at any point. We will train them up. It's a commitment. You know, the bar is high. It's not a thing that you just like waltz in, but any of them could become a Linkerd maintainer. Any of them could be a vendor that contributes to Linkerd, but they don't. They're sniping from the sides. I don't want to be religious about it, and it's not an ideological choice. Even the early decision that we made to make Linkerd open source and to join the CNCF were because that ecosystem of Kubernetes adopters were having the same problems. We're having exactly the problems we had just solved on Twitter. I knew we could solve it for them. And every other object in their ecosystem was open source and part of the CNCF. And we made that decision for practical reasons, not for ideological ones. That approach is going to continue for me. I'm going to do what I think is best for Linkerd and its users, and whatever strategies or patterns or ideologies or whatever I have to adopt to do that, I'll do it if I believe it's the right thing.
Well, thank you for being with us and sharing your thoughts. And I'm sure we'll hear more from Linkerd as things progress.
Yeah, and I'll say to anyone who's a Linkerd user out there, I've been, you know, as open and transparent about this as I can, and I would love your feedback. So please find me on the internet or in person, maybe with like warning and advanced coordination, not surprise attack by the dumpsters. And let's talk about this, because first and foremost, I want to make this work for our Linkerd user community. That's really important.
Thanks, William.
Thanks, Beth.
This has been IT Ops Query Season 1, Tech Tragedy of the Commons. If you have any feedback on this episode or want to share questions or stories we should consider covering, please reach out to me at bpariso, that's B as in boy, P as in Peter, A, R, I, S as in Samuel, E, A, U, at techtarget.com. Please also consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to this podcast on your platform of choice. And tune in next week for our continued conversations with industry experts about open source principles and sustainability. Thank you for being with us so far.